The glory of God is being poured out in these days of awakening. And it won't just be happening here. It's going to be happening in New London, Connecticut, Old Saybrook, Connecticut. It's going to be happening throughout the Connecticut River Valley. I believe that Connecticut and New York, this region here, is going to be an epicenter of a bonfire blazing with the glory of God that will not go out until Jesus comes back. We're tired of a move of God that kind of blows up and then blows out. We want to have the real, the rooted deep into our inner being, into our very DNA, into our culture, into our religiosity until it's all burned up and only Jesus remains. We have to have that level of a move of God, and it's coming. And some have had visions about what's taking place here, that it's not even 10% of what God wants to do, and I believe that's true. Tonight we may hit 11%. We may hit 15% of what God wants to do, but it's going to amp up. It's going to move up, and that level of glory is going to be so much that you will not be able to stand under what God is about to release. I said God is going to send a wave of glory to Greenwich, to harvest time, to you. It's coming. Coming to a church near you. Too hot to handle young people are going to fill every empty seat, every empty spot in this place. And we're going to see a young adult revival birth right here out of this place. Campuses, colleges, universities in a 50-mile radius are going to get ignited by the power of God. Woo. This is not your father's revival. This is not the old-fashioned revival that's kind of, you know, upgraded a little bit, service pack 2. This is a fresh revealing, an unveiling of the glory of God that's going to change your very DNA. It's going to burn its way right into your bones, right into the DNA of who you are. Sin is going to be consumed and Christ is going to be exalted.
Hallelujah.
This is a glory outpouring. And guess what happens in a glory outpouring? Nobody looks good but Jesus.
That's good.
But Jesus makes everybody look good. I was going to say hot, but that's true with my wife. I know she's watching online right now, but for the rest of you, he makes you look good. Jesus makes us even glisten in the glory. Mm. Man, I've gone into grocery stores after divine encounters with God, and people fell out on my way to the dairy aisle. I had to leave the store. It happened. My wall melted in my living room, and this burning glory came right through a melted wall, stood right in front of me, and I shrieked like a 12-year-old girl. Excuse me, 12-year-old girls, but that's how I shrieked. Buried my face in my bed there in the living room and just shrieked enough to rattle the windows. I don't know if it was 10 minutes or an hour, but that glory realm just entered my room. Everything was invisible. And everything became visible inside of me, including stuff that I don't want anybody to see. I don't want to see it. I want you to see it. I want anybody to see it. I don't want God to see it. But it all stuck out. It wasn't my whole life that flashed in front of me, but it was a lot of my sin that flashed in front of me. And as a pastor and somebody that's tried to live for God for 40 years without an intermission, I'm telling you, I've tried my hardest. I've longed after God. I've sought after God, and so have you. I'm not saying I'm any different than you are. But it wasn't like I want to sin in any way. But when I had that burning glory realm come into the room, I was changed forever. It wrecked me. And then I remembered I had to go get milk. My wife was working at Yale, and she gave me the assignment, you know, go get some milk before I get home from work. I said, yes, dear. So suddenly, you know, after a while, that light kind of walked right back through the wall, and the wall suddenly got healed, and I saw the real old-fashioned border and the paint on the wall and the carpet, and there I am back into this world. I thought, my Lord, that is coming to you. Maybe tonight, some of you on your bed may have divine visitations. This is not just a hyped up meeting, guys. I've been in a lot of those. I've even led a few of those. This is an outpouring of glory. I'm going to give you the seven things the glory of God will heal you from. Everything that ails the church can be healed by the glory of God. And as I go through these seven things quickly, you'll understand what I'm talking about, that it's going to take the glory of God to change us, to really transform us. Bone-shaking encounters with the heavenly glory is coming. And it's important that we embrace and absorb. Embrace and absorb. Embrace and absorb the glory of God. Moses did in front of a burning shrub, that sacred shrub, as he was there not just a day or two. I believe he was there for weeks in front of that burning fire. And he absorbed the glory. He absorbed the holiness of God. He absorbed a power that broke Pharaoh's demonic stronghold over the people of Israel. 10 demonic principalities fell, plague after plague, sent by the hand of God through Moses. Freed the people. Freed them totally.
Amen.
And I believe you can come before the glory in such a way that you absorb, you embrace and absorb. That's your mission, should you choose to accept it. That you embrace and absorb. How do I do that? Well, just do it. Don't worry about how you do it. Just get into his presence. Just get into his burning presence. Come into these meetings like this. We'll be meeting again on Tuesday night. And most likely throughout this coming week, as you'll get updates on the internet, www.htchurch.com. Where are you, Nick? Aren't you proud of me?
I am.
But get exposed to this. Come into the... Begin to believe that visitation is for you. Acts 2:17. It says, in the last days, men are going to see visions. But the word for visions is actually divinely appointed appearances. Jesus is going to begin to appear to people in this room. I said, Jesus himself, the one you love that makes mountains melt like wax, that mountain of pride inside of you, it'll begin to melt before his burning presence. It will change you. That's all we really need is him. Our guilt-driven theologies are going to go out the door.
Thank you.
Our limited vision and our limited faith is going to look so juvenile compared to what God is about to do as he upgrades the church, Acts 2.0. He's bringing a new Pentecost. And I'm telling you, within 7 days, a new level of the glory of God is going to hit this church. By Sunday night, a week from tonight, Pentecost night, there are going to be visible signs and wonders in this house. God is going to show off his glory. And I want to just prepare us. You know, if we will embrace this glory, we will become a gateway to heaven to people. The fragrance of Jesus will begin to come out of our life. You know, the wife of a very well-known prophet that many of you would know the name were I to mention him. His wife tells the story. She and this prophet were a national prophet, you know, acclaimed all over the world. They were dragging their suitcases through the airport, you know. And they were dragging their suitcases through the airport. And all of a sudden, the man stopped and turned to his wife and said, "I'll be right back." And there she is standing with the suitcases, and she turns and watches her husband, and he catches up with a man who had just walked by them. And he caught up with him, and the wife is watching them talk and exchange words for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, the prophet came back to the suitcases and started to go on with the wife. She said, "Well, honey, who was that?" He said, "I don't know. But when he walked by, I smelled a fragrance that I've only smelled in the throne room of God. And I knew that that man had been with the Lord in the throne room of God. And I had to go and just be with him for that moment." You see, there's a fragrance that comes from us. It's the fragrance of life. When Jesus touches our, you know, he is the finest fragrance poured out, it says in Song of Songs. The very name of Jesus is the finest oil, flowing oil that's poured out. The Father poured out the name of Jesus on a cross. He poured out the name of Jesus in the upper room. He poured out the name of Jesus on me and upon you. And we receive that beautiful fragrance. Don't sniff now, but that person next to you has been with Jesus. Power is released through the ecstasy of this inner flame. When the fire of glory begins to burn in us, there's a power that activates part of our spirit and activates even our mind. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And it makes things come alive inside of us. To be near this glory is intoxicating, exhilarating, transforming, satisfying, comforting, life-changing. It's something you'll never, ever forget. These days of the outpouring of the Greenwich glory. And as we have a secret relationship, the day will come when you're released for public displays of power and displays of heaven. Here are the seven things. If you see me writing down, you know that it's really good. If you want to write them down, that's cool. If not, that's still cool. Here is what the glory of God will cure the church of. Number one, flirtation with sin. Flirtation with sin. Now, I don't know of any Christian that just loves sin. That's just not who we are. We've been transformed. We've been made new creatures. The Holy Spirit now lives in us. And his first name's holy. The Hebrew word is actually, and in the translation I'm doing, every place where it says the Holy Spirit, it's really the Spirit of holiness. And the Spirit of holiness is on us. But there's this flirtation thing at times where we want to see how far we can go in certain forbidden realms. And you know, when I talk about sin, I don't just mean the naughty nine and the terrible ten and the dirty dozen, the list of the no-nos that we all have. Your list may be different than the person next to you, but we all have those lists of no-nos. I don't mean that necessarily, but you know, when you really understand the biblical definition of sin, it's falling short of the glory of God. For we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Anything that is short of that glory, that's sin. As Pastor Glenn would say, good preaching there. So our aspiration is not just to be squeaky clean, you know, put out the cigarette butt before anybody, some religious person accuses you of sin. But our aspiration is to be so full of the glory, so full of God, that we don't have a desire. We don't even have a tug in our heart towards darkness. It was said of Jesus that the enemy would come, but he found no place in him.
Yeah.
And may it be that we have no foothold for a stronghold in us. That we be those that are so full of the glory. When the glory of God really comes upon us, sin is trashed, it's abandoned, it's forsaken. We turn from it in disgust. And compared to the exquisite glory that we're tasting, the feast of glory, you're not going to eat the banana peels when you're tasting prime rib. The glory. I've never compared the glory to prime rib, but it does sound good when you're hungry. The second thing that the glory, what we need and what is coming even tonight to this house that will cure the church, the glory that will cure the church, it will heal us from the powerlessness that's among us. Thank you. Many Christians, let's don't talk about the church abstract, let's talk about you and I. Our lives at times are powerless. We become victims of circumstances. We get moved and swayed by opinions and what people say and gossip and by the words of people and the disgust of others that don't appreciate the values that we carry. And the power to live for God, the power to do signs and wonders and miracles, which is authentic New Testament spirituality. That powerlessness has seeped into the church, and now it's acceptable to be bored. What's going to happen when the glory comes into the meetings? Boredom flies out the window. People don't know what to do. Visible signs and wonders. What would you have done if you were one of those 249 people there? I was the one that didn't see it. What would you have done if you were sitting in that wonderful Assembly of God church in Providence, North Providence, Rhode Island, when that fire broke loose? It's kind of strange. The pastor afterwards, after the firemen came and the people were all out in the parking lot, stunned, their jaws dropped. They didn't even want to leave. They were just like, there's their church smoke coming out of it. Didn't even take the offering. You know it's God. We get all done, and the pastor says, well, let's go have lunch. I said, okay. It was late. You know, we finally got the firemen all satisfied that the fire had been put out. And so he pulls into a restaurant called the Fireplace. I screamed, got out of the car, took a picture of the sign. I was kind of, you know, I was impressed. We've got to have these power surges are coming. You know, many of you know the name Donna Summer. Passed away this past week. What you may not know is that she was an on fire Christian. I know because she had come to our church more than once. At times she would call me and say, I'm coming incognito. Please don't call me out. Please don't mention that I'm here. I said, okay. And sure enough, I saw her a few times, and then her husband, wonderful Italian guy, she and her husband, we ended up having dinner with them right here in Westport, somewhere out around here. And we were in a home, and she said, I want the fire of God. I really want the burning presence of God. And I know that something's going on in your church and the Spirit of the Lord's being poured out. Would you release that over me? I said, are you sure? She said, yeah. I said, it would probably wreck your career. She said, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what she really said was, it was wrecked already. So I began to pray over her and her husband. The instant I laid my hands on their heads, pow, the lights went out. Not only in the house, but all along the street for blocks. And there we sat in the dark as I finished my prayer. I believe in signs and wonders. I believe in the God of signs and wonders. I believe in the God that has power for His church. All we need is a baptism of His glory. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10, it says the entire Hebrew nation were all baptized in the cloud.
Yeah.
Did you know that? They were baptized in the cloud of glory. How about a cloud baptism? And that means that the cloud actually went right through a million people. This glory manifestation that was fire by night and a cloud by day, that glory pillar, the pillar of glory, went right through the people as a picture of the Holy Spirit coming into us, baptized by the cloud of glory. That's going to make a good service, Nick. You ever heard of John Wesley? How about Methodists? You ever heard of Methodists? Are there any Methodists here? Nobody wants to admit that. That's okay. Recovering Methodist, that's all right. We understand. John Wesley, he's the one that said, I'm going to set myself on fire and people will come and watch me burn. That was his life motto. I'm going to set myself on fire. Of course, he's talking about a spiritual flame. And I'm going to let people come and watch me burn. Take a moment to picture with me an early Methodist camp meeting about 1760. Do you know what the ladies wore in 1760? It was not revival wear. It was not revival apparel, t-shirts, and jeans. I mean, they wore, I don't know, you gals could describe it better. And the men had fluffy stuff everywhere and stockings on and poofed out pants that only went to the knee, you know, and black boots or whatever they were. Just get the picture. Okay, here's a Methodist camp meeting. The power of God comes upon these dear people. They begin to wail and weep and scream and travail. Their meetings of 30,000 people were so raucous and so loud, 1760, that you could hear them for 2 miles plus distance away. You could hear the roar of the crackling fire of God falling upon the people. And you want to just come and sit and have a nice little meeting here? God is going to amp this thing up. I'm telling you, a glory wave is going to hit the northeast of the U.S. It's already hitting in Australia. It's already beginning to burn in Maine and Canada and other churches and locations. And we're thankful for every one of them. It said that there was stamping, shouting, weeping, wailing, people falling to the floor in trances all over the place. Wild God encounters, prophetic utterances, and visions that were all taken seriously. There was one meeting, the preacher in the meeting was a man by the name of Hugh Bourne, Jason's dad, I guess, grandfather. Hugh Bourne. And he was speaking to thousands of people about the judgment of God that was coming. And it said, as he spoke, people screamed, got up, and ran for their life out of the meeting, only to hit head on with the people that were running for their life to get salvation in that meeting. And this huge mass of piled up bodies on the outskirts took place. It's everything you want and everything you'll run from at the same time. This was no sissy preaching. It was loud. It was brutal. Wesley, John Wesley, was a dynamic, powerful voice that rocked a nation. He and George Whitefield and their cohorts, they literally became circuit riders. Droves and droves of people came to Christ and experienced powerful spiritual renewal. Wesley, check this out. And you think, you know, 7 days is a long time to have meetings? Staff here at HTC, I know it's hard. You put in a lot of hours. Thank you, media team, worship team, all of you guys. But listen, Wesley rode 5,000 miles a year on horseback. You realize that's from here to LA and then back to Kansas City or so. 1 year. 1 year on horseback. When's the last time you did that? He died at the age of 87, and he was still preaching up until the last month of his life. It was estimated that he rode 250,000 miles by the end of his life. Dude, that is as far as here to the moon on horseback to preach. Sometimes he would preach 20 times in 1 week. At one point, it says he made 90 miles in the saddle and would ride 20 hours straight. Snowdrift, slippery ice. At one time, the horse fell on him, and he was supernaturally raised up with no broken bones. Another time, you will not get this in the typical Methodist hymnal, but another time, he would ride a horse until it was just, you know, at the point of going down. And one time he rode a horse so far the horse actually started to die. He commanded it to be raised up again, and it got up and took him the rest of the way. He had a circuit to where John Wesley would come into a meeting like this, except a lot more, like 30,000 people. Thousands of people would be gathered to hear the word of the Lord. And he would speak to them, jump on his horse, and he had it timed just right with meticulous care. He got the route perfectly planned out to where there would be another bunch of 20,000 people waiting for him for another meeting. And he would go on and on and on like that for all of his life. He was consumed. He was a man that understood the power of God. Now, the third thing that the glory will heal us of is complaining. There's so much disappointment in the church. You know, don't look at me, you know, too religiously, guys, because I've been a pastor many years, pastored 20 years right down the road here. And I understand what's happening in our culture, and people are burnt out. They're disappointed. We get disappointed with each other. We get disappointed with the people we live with. We get disappointed about our jobs. We get disappointed and complain about the traffic and about the cost of everything, the taxes, the gas. I mean, the whole everything. You know, Israel, the Hebrews, they had that problem. They came out, you know, out of God split the sea open. It looked like it was going to be nothing but supernatural glory. And at one point, the people got so upset they were going to kill Moses. And what would you do if you were God to people like that? God says, I've got just the thing for this. I'm going to show you my glory. Exodus 16 verse 7 says, in the morning you will see my glory. Exodus 16 verse 7. So all the complainers, all those that are about to stone their leaders, suddenly God says, their complaining and murmuring will stop when they see my glory. You know why your life's a mess? Why there's a wrecked, you know, thing waiting for you back home, and why you're curious about what's going to happen at work tomorrow? You realize what's going on? I'm telling you, it can all, you say, are you selling me something here? No. It can all be healed, cured, where you won't even care when you taste the feast of glory. When you drink the cup of bliss and you feed on the Lamb and you take all of Him for all you need. You know, the early disciples, they actually were happy when they were beaten. I don't see any casts on anybody here. But they, the disciples, the apostles, they took pleasure. They counted it joy. They rejoiced in their sufferings. Why? Because they were drinking a high-octane cup of bliss. They were taking and drinking and feasting on something that we haven't had yet. But the Lord is saying, I'm releasing my glory. Ichabod's being removed and glory's coming. You heard about the preacher that got a little excited when he was trying to talk about Ichabod. You know, Ichabod means the glory has departed. And he got all excited and he didn't come up with the right word. He said, and God's going to write Michelob over this church. It's not Michelob, it's Ichabod. But anyway, grumbling, complaining, that disappointment. When am I going to get my way? When am I going to get my thing? Everybody seems to have it good but me. And we just get into the funk of disappointment. That is going to break off of you so quickly, my friend, sweetheart, my brother. I'm telling you, it's going to come off of you like a dark cloak lifted right off of your shoulders. Thank you, like some X-ray blanket you've been carrying around. And the Lord is going to make you buoyant, effervescent. Joy is going to bubble up in the morning. There's going to be a joy and a rejoicing and something better than just venting on people and things and kicking everything and making sure they know how disappointed you are. What you need is the glory. Everybody say, show me the glory. Next time somebody's real critical around you, just stop and think. I don't know if you want to tell them or not, but at least think it. God, all they need is the glory. And they'll be cured of that. Here's the fourth thing. How about evangelism? How about the need of getting workers out and winning the lost? Who's going to go to the nations? Who's going to reach the unreached people? Who's going to really do the work of the kingdom? And you know, Jesus tells us that we're to pray not for souls to come in. He says, pray for the workers, pray for the laborers, the harvesters to go, right?
That's right.
Do you know the Greek word? This is one of the discoveries I made in translating, and I'm translating the book of Luke. I'm going to show you a verse of that in just a moment. But in translating with the Passion Translation, I discovered that when Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. The word send forth is used 56 times in the New Testament for casting out demons. It's a violent expulsion. It's a driving them out, casting them out. God's going to cast you out of church and put you into the harvest field. And He's going to make you the answer to the prayer you've been praying. God, send somebody to my daughter, my son, my husband, my wife. You're going to be the one. And He's going to drive you out of that old thinking and into a new, fresh experience of the glory of God. Glory evangelism is coming. It's okay to do the street evangelism, you know, turn or burn, shake or bake, cry or fry. I've done that. I've been through the Jesus movement, bro. We stopped at red lights, ran out of the car, six of us jump out of the car, pound on the window of the guy in front of us, throwing tracks down his throat and telling him, turn or burn, bro. That's how we started. We were so bummed out if we didn't lead somebody to Jesus every day. Yeah, I know. Now that I'm a little older, Make it a little easier, God. I'll tell you, the easiest evangelism there is going to be meetings like this. And I prophesied to Pastor Glenn the other day. I said, you're going to have meetings where 50% of the people here, one out of every two people, are going to be the lost, and they're going to come to know Jesus in these meetings. And here's why. The reason is the glory of God. The glory of God is going to melt the hardest heart. Listen to Isaiah 60. Arise, my people, let your light shine for all the nations to see, for the glory of the Lord is streaming from you. Darkness as black as night shall cover all the peoples of the earth, but the glory of the Lord will shine out of you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see the glory of the Lord resting upon you. That beautiful glory, splendor is coming. The majesty, the jaw-dropping, breathtaking, sock-dropping majesty is going to come. Nobody's going to be boasting, bragging, and you know our bragamonies are going to end. And our boast is going to be of Jesus and His cross, the crucified Lamb. All peoples are going to come. A glory attraction on a colossal scale is coming. It's coming to the Northeast. We've got to become invitees for the glory. We've got to actually invite the glory. Ask God. May the angelic presence thicken here. Because they live in that realm. And they're sent to minister to those that shall be the heirs of salvation. I believe they're here tonight. I believe they were here this morning as we tried to close the last service here. The angelic presence from the glory is coming. Coals of fire from the glory realm, like the one that struck Pastor Glenn. That coal of fire was off the altar of God, hurled by an angel to release something into the earth, to bless the man of God. And no one better than he that to carry that with integrity, wisdom, humility, but also to touch the people and to bless the region. In the glory, it's not about a human being. You're going to come here in some meetings and it won't be the speaker you thought. It'll be a speaker you don't even know and you won't even care. Because God is going to be here. The glory of the Lord is going to overshadow us. And it won't matter who the person is speaking. I've had dreams. I had a 10-day encounter where I had dreams for 10 nights in a row of the glory of God coming to this region. And I saw meeting after meeting like this that was taking place. And there were people that nobody knew and nobody needed to know. It was His servants, that men and women that are going to speak and release the glory. We are dispensers of the glory realm. Everything that heaven has, we have. Heaven is now moving from a location to an experience. And we are able to release the heavenly realm and release the supernatural. Not just the experts, not just the anointed dudes, but all of us. We are all capable of walking infinitely into the realm of glory with God. I got to finish here. Where are we? Number five. I'm just about done. Lifeless teachings, dead sermons. And I'm the expert of that. You know, pastor down the road, and I looked at my computer, and I found almost 4,000 sermons, a little shy of 4,000 teachings that I had. Boring. So I thought I'd look at some of them and listen to some of the old CDs, and before I left, and they had such a beautiful going away. Some of you in the room here were with me that night. But before I left, I went up to the media department, and I told our guys, I said, thou shalt not let those CDs go anywhere. Thou shalt destroy them. Matter of fact, give them to me, and I shalleth destroy them. Lifeless teachings are going to give way to the full revelation of the glory of God. Revelatory teaching that's going to make us feel like we've never even read our Bibles is about to be released. I shared the other night, 1 Peter 1:5, there's a salvation that's ready to be unveiled that the church doesn't even know about. It's ready to be revealed when you're ready to receive it. There are teachings and truths of the life of Jesus. I'm going to share one or two with you here before we leave. That it has the power to transform the global church. I'd like for you to put the Luke 4 scripture up, please. And I want us to take a peek at this. This is from the Passion Translation. And if you want to compare it to your version, that's okay. The Passion Translation is what I'm involved in, like in my spare time. Tomorrow I'll spend 8 hours translating to do a few verses. But I finished Song of Songs, which was my favorite book in the Bible. And then I finished the book of Psalms. And this is the first church in the nation to have access to this. So I brought a few. I hope there's some left. I'm not for sure if there are or not. But it's out on the table there. But the Luke translation is so astounding. And I don't have the time to get into the Aramaic and the Hebrew and the Greek. But I can tell you that the contemporary scholarship is that this is really stunning, okay? Contemporary scholarship, I'm talking about the last 5 years of scholars who examine textual criticism in linguistic analysis of the original languages, the manuscripts, the oldest manuscripts. They've come to the conclusion that Jesus spoke Aramaic, didn't speak Greek, and the original documents of our New Testament were in Hebrew/Aramaic. Aramaic is just a dialect, a form of the Hebrew genre of language. This is from the Aramaic New Testament, and it'll show up in the Passion Translation. I hope you can see it there in front of you, but it says this. Jesus overflowing with the Holy Spirit's power. It's Luke 4:14. Jesus overflowing with the Holy Spirit's power returned to Galilee just as his fame began to spread abroad. And he taught in the meeting places, and he offered everyone glory. As Jesus taught, he offered everyone glory. Can you imagine being in front of Rabbi Jesus? As he opens his mouth, the heavenly realm is released in the very words he speaks. For he is the manifestation of God. And as he spoke in the meeting places, people would fill the hall to be with him and to hear his voice, to hear his words. And his teaching offered everyone glory. There's coming a revelation of the Word of God as the Spirit of revelation comes upon us, that we will begin to release glory to the people, not guilt. Guilt is a poor substitute. It's a bitter aftertaste when we experience guilt in teaching. The pulpit pounding, when are you going to? Where were you during these awakening meetings? Why didn't you double tithe and come on Wednesday night? All of that guilt stuff is going to get flushed. And we're going to have men and women that have been with Jesus that are releasing the glory realm by the revelation of the Word of God. I like that. The sixth is the entire church is going to be activated. This lethargy and this the only way to say it is Laodicea. It's like we pay you, preacher, to do the work. We come and sit, maybe take notes, maybe if it's really good, maybe buy a CD or something. But you're the one that does it, and we're laity. Dude, that went out with the 80s. Actually, it went out with like the 1500s called Martin Luther Reformation, where the clergy-laity system dissolved, and the entire body of Christ realizes that we are all priests. We all have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We all have a full-grown Jesus living in us. We all have all the gifts and every spiritual blessing. God cannot give you any more than he's already given you in Jesus. So the day of experts is over and every one of us are offered glory. God wants you to be the one to be so filled with his presence tonight that you ignite your office, your neighborhood, your family, your friendship group, you know, the company of friends that you have around you. God is going to make you the one. You're going to be the one. You're going to carry the presence. Like Peter, when you walk, the shadow of glory will be upon you. Sick people will be healed. People will feel the vibration of eternity when you walk by them. The fragrance of God will be upon you. Your very face may glisten and glow. You're the one. Don't disqualify yourself, because the Holy Spirit never does, and He's holy. Did you know you don't really disappoint God? You actually delight Him. He's so absolutely thrilled with you. You know what He loves about you? I heard this in the throne room. You know what He likes about you? Everything. Tell the person next to you, He likes everything about you. You can tell Him, I'm still working on it, but He likes everything about you. You're not a problem, you're a partner to Him. You're not a project that He's going to heal. You're a delightful, beautiful bride, a radiant friend that is going to glow in the dark. You're literally going to be the look-alike partner to Jesus Christ. You're the bride, the perfect one. You're going to be equal to Him. You're going to be glorious, filled with His radiance. Radiance is in your future. He's coming back for a radiant bride. Hey, radiance is in your future. Everything about you is going to give way to the emerging Christ. The transformation, the transfiguration of your life is going to come forth in this glory. You don't disappoint Him. He's not upset with you. He's not going to like, oh my God, what am I going to do with you? He kisses you in your sleep. He breathes on you a new breath every morning. He walks with you, within you, and around you, above you, beneath you, every side of you. He's in you. He's in your fingernails and your toenails and your eyelashes. He's in every part of you. From your nose to your toes, Jesus is there. He loves you. Cherish is the word I use to describe. I hear Him just saying about you, you're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I want to hold you so much. Pardon the lack of Frankie Valli anointing, but He loves you so deeply. And that brings me to the very last one. And in this thing of intimacy that we touched on this morning, and we're going to end there tonight. This limitation, this like you come so close and you want to get closer, but you just, you can't, you don't, it doesn't happen. It's almost frustrating at times, isn't it? This intimate journey, because you really want to be one with your beloved. Two shall become one. Don't let the doctrines of men divide asunder what God is joining together. And our destiny is to become one with the one we love. Not just to have a good meeting, not just to make it through the week, not to have a super retirement. Our destiny is to become joined to the one we love. Like a tea bag is in hot water, Christ is in you, seeping, blending, mingling, merging into you in every way. What I want to end with is this, that He wants to share His glory with His lovers. And you're His lover. You're a lover of God. You're not a member of a church. You're a lover of God. A little bit different. You know, if you know your New Testament, Luke and Acts, written by the Apostle Luke, Luke writes his two books. He writes them to this dude named Theophilus. Have you ever read that? I write unto you, most excellent Theophilus. Mm-hmm. Guess what? There is not a man named Theophilus. Mm-hmm. Theophilus means lover of God. So when you get the Passion Translation, I'm calling it Luke to the lovers of God. He writes to you, most excellent lover of God. Mm. You're the Theophilus that he wrote to. Historians and scholars never found the guy. I mean, to this day, you search it out yourself. You'll discover there wasn't such a guy. Never found him. The excellent lover of God is you. It's the person next to you, the person in front of you and behind you. Jesus wants to share His glory. Just like every husband wants to share himself fully to his wife. A good husband, everything is joined together. And so with Jesus, he wants to give his bride everything. He's not going to hold back something when he's in covenant love with you. Nothing could ever separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. I mean, if it was going to do that, it would have done it by now. I like to tell people, you know, if God was going to get rid of me, he would have done it a long time before now. I don't struggle with those issues. I know whom I believed. I know the lover of my soul. And I just want to end with this secret, guys. As I translated the Song of Songs, some of you have heard me share this, but hear it again, please. The most astounding truth that has ever come into my life. I mean, I don't care what it is. This is numero uno. That's number one. This is the most life-changing truth. And when the Lord showed it to me, he said, Brian, he said, this one word I'm going to breathe on you. He came into my room at night. Let me back all the way up real quick to say that after I turned over our church, Gateway, to our son-in-law and daughter, and they're doing a wonderful job there in the New Haven area, and after we left the pastoral ministry and we began to do whatever we do, mess up churches, get in trouble and everything like that, I had this urge to come. Rose up inside of me to translate. I have a history in Bible translation. We were tribal missionaries in the jungle in Central South America, and I was a part of the translation project for the Payakuna dialect. They now have their New Testament, and I was in on that. It was just an exquisite joy for us to do that for our missionary career. However, I thought I'd never translate again. All of a sudden, it came up in me. I want to translate the Bible in a passion form. I want to bring the Word of God undiluted, unfiltered, raw, right out of the can. Jesus, passion of the Word of God. All the stuff that's footnoted because it's too scary and they're afraid that people can't handle it, but they'll maybe put it on a footnote. I'm going to stick it right up in front of everybody. He offered everyone glory. So this urge came and I said, Lord, you got to, you know, there's 66 books in the Bible. I mean, that's a lot of books. That's a lot of verses. I mean, you want me to translate it. So I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me. You're going to have to speak to me. Well, he didn't speak to me. He came to me. Came into my room one night, and he breathed on me. And he said, I'm going to give you the secrets of the Hebrew language. And as he breathed on me, instantly, I received something that is still unpacking, you know, zip files or whatever. It's still coming out. And one of the things that was revealed to me by Holy Spirit was the word sister in the Song of Songs. He calls us his sister, his bride. Now, you sisters, that's really sweet, isn't it? But for the bros, that's really weird. It's hard enough to say I'm the bride of Christ. I like that word brawny that Pastor Glenn used. I'm the brawny bride. But I got over that. But the sister, like, ooh, yuck, ooh, 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 you're going to kiss your sister, you're going to marry your sister, what is that? Holy Spirit showed me the word sister. Are you sitting down? The word sister is the word equal. My equal, my bride. Four times. In chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Song of Songs, he calls her my equal, my bride. Stay with me just another minute. My equal, my bride. So I translated the Song of Songs, and it's out there, I believe. You ought to get it. People weeping and getting saved and blowing snot out of their nose. And they're just like, it's impacting people. I'll leave it at that. So I sent it to the publisher. No sooner did I get the file to him than he calls me on my cell and says, hey. I said, yeah, what's up? And he said, well, we can't print your book. We can't publish your book. I said, why? He said, you're telling people that they're equal to Jesus Christ. I said, no, I'm not telling them that. He's telling them that. Cricket. You know, just 30 seconds. He, And he said, we're going to do it. I said, good. That way I don't have to find another publisher. So 4 times he says equal. Do you understand what that means when you process this? Start now, because it's going to take about 10 years. Really. It's going to take a while to process what it means. Do you realize what it means to be equal in glory? That he's actually given you the substance of his glory, all of it? That you would be with him in his glory? Not when you die, but when you yield to him? That you're in the substance of glory right now, and that glory is in you? Doesn't the Bible say that as he is, so are we in this world? This is not some strange truth. This is a revelation that is going to reveal Christ in fullness to his bride. Does God not tell us not to be? Doesn't he tell us in 2 Corinthians 6, do not be unequally yoked to the unbeliever? Do not be unequally yoked. You think he would let his son be unequally yoked? You are an equal yoke partner to Jesus Christ. Everything he is, you are. Everything he has, you have. You have the radiance, the glory, the righteousness. You have the power and the authority. When you get it, folks, it's like John 14:12. Ka-ching. Greater works than these shall they do, those that believe in me. Get used to going through walls and getting frequent flyer miles without flying, without airplanes. You say, you're really stretching me. Yeah, that's my gift. I'm not Richard Simmons, but I'm going to stretch you. You need a little stretching. You're kind of bored with status quo Christianity. That know-it-all thing is just not getting you anywhere. And I'm telling you, Jesus looks at you, my beloved, and he says, intimacy, we're one. You are mine and I am yours. I browse among my lilies. And lilies in the Bible are always a picture of his people, his beautiful people. He's with us. He's in us. Christ in me. Not Christ in heaven, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Thank you, Lord.
We've had a long day, and it's time to pray. But I just want you to know that the glory of God is the great equalizer. It will bring unity. It will eliminate criticism, complaining. We'll actually start to like each other. We'll want to be together. We'll change our plans to come to meetings and drag other people to these meetings. And we'll want to be at the feet of Jesus, drinking from the cup of bliss, feasting. The glory feast. The feast of glory is for you today. So I'm going to ask that you just really become a receiver tonight, okay? Everybody who wants prayer, we're going to pray for. That's a lot of people. And I really felt the Lord told me in worship that we were to start with the worship team. And the most neglected. And, yeah. So if you guys would come down. I'd also like all the staff and hopefully the camera and sound won't blow up. If you guys were to come down, if you care to, if you'd like to come, Denise, you're welcome. Pastor Faith, all of the pastoral team. If you're a ministry head, you're a deacon, you're one of the leaders here in the church, you have a place of leadership, a staff position or whatever. Is that okay that we bless these folks first? And just let God kiss them and smother them with his glory. Wow. Are you Wilt Chamberlain? Oh, okay. You're tall. Thank you, Jesus. I really love this church. This is such a beautiful church, isn't it? Listen. Look at this. Look at these wonderful people. There's room down here, I think, for another 3 or 4. See, this is the team here that God has assembled. These are the precious people of this house. So many times they have given out. They have let all of us receive prayer, and they hide in the back, or they're up on the worship team, and they just, you know, their fingers are getting numb and stiff and as it goes late. And everybody else gets something but them. It's so fitting, isn't it, folks, that we pray for these ones first. And it won't take long. They may all fall over in a moment. No, that's happened. Thank you, Jesus. All of us, let's raise our hands to the Lord. I believe that He's going to confirm His word with signs and wonders. I believe that this is a new day of apostolic anointing and apostolic power. When we're going to see fireballs and churches are going to get lit, smoke filling the house. Signs and wonders. People driving by and they see flames coming off the roof of the building. I believe people's faces are going to glisten and glow just like Moses did. It's in the Bible. I believe that signs and wonders, shadow healings are going to take place. And there's going to be powerful surges of heaven being released through outlets on earth. The franchise of glory, who we are right here. We are the dispenser of glory. So, Lord, we just ask for Your presence. We ask for the overwhelming, the breathtaking, the glory presence of heaven. More. The light of God fall upon us. The light of God. Come. Come, Lord. More. Go deeper. Go deeper. Come on, go deeper. Set your eyes on the Lord right now. Set your eyes on the Lord. Come on, go deep, go deep. More, more. Into the bliss, into the bliss, into the ecstasy, into the feast of glory. Glory, the table of glory is spread. It's available. You have a seat at the table. It's yours. The little card with your name on it's right there waiting for you. The cup of bliss is already full. It's actually running over. It's ready for you to drink. Lamb is being served. Oh, eat the lamb. Feast on the work of Calvary. Feast on the love of Jesus. The wounds of the cross where He's hidden us. Where we have been nestled into His heart. Sequestered into His love. Here we are in the trysting place where only glory. Only glory. I'm feeling it right now. I'm feeling it right now. The glory is coming into the room. The glory of God is going to move. The swirl of heaven is going to come in to this room. The very whirlwind of the glory, the spinning dance of Mahanaim, it's going to come into this place. More, 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 more. More Jesus, more God, more of You, a lot more of You, God. More, more. Double it. Whatever You are going to pour out tonight, double it, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Release greater measures. Release greater flow, Lord. More. More of Your glory. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Glory. Fill. Fill right there. More. Ha. Glory. Glory. I think You're a singer. God, give her the song of the Lord. Song of the Lord in the night. Let her awaken with songs of the Lord. More. Glory. Fill. 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 As she lays hands on her family, God, they're going to be torched by an angel. More, 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 more. Rabaraka. Borota. There it is. Bam. More, Lord. More, Jesus. Yeah. A lot more. 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 Double. Triple. Quadruple. More. 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 There it is. There it is. Take, take, take. Absorb, absorb. More. More for You too, Papa. More for Saint Nick. Give him glory, God. More, Lord. More. Let the anointing increase on his teaching, his writing. Let that book come forth. Let that devotional book come forth, Lord. Let it release the 365 days of the Lord. Let the year of Zion be released through Him. More. And Patricia too. More. Oh my God. Grace, grace, and a whole lot more grace. More for Pastor. Pastor Faith. Increase, increase. I love that name. Wouldn't you like to have a name? Pastor Faith. Man, I love that. Man, you must be awesome. I know you are because I know you. Oh, you're amazing. You're amazing. Everybody shout out. You're amazing. Yeah. You're His equal. Don't let anybody rob you of that. More. Pow. Man, there's a glow over you, bro. Man, you've been with Jesus. There's something good about you. You know what Jesus likes about you, right? Everything. Yep, that's right. More. Fill. More, 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 more. More. More for the media gal. Jesus, Jesus, fill, fill, double, double, run it out, run it out, run it over, spill it out all over the place. There she goes. Slosh her good tonight, Lord. More. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to prophesy to you. When you go out to your car, Holy Spirit is waiting in your car. I think there's an angel out there. You may be going home with somebody. I don't know what the deal is, but there's an angel presence going to go with you all the way home. Wee, all the way home. Pow. Jesus. More of your glory. Dios todo poderoso. Fuego de Dios. Doble. Oh, you're English. I forgot. Okay. Lord, bless him. Fill. More. Healing. There's healing all over you. You got a healing ministry. Shamba. Sharabara. More God. More for the big one. Jesus. He needs a big bam from you right now. Do it, God, for this mighty champion. Wreck him, Lord. Wreck him. Oh, my. And everybody that's connected to him. Jesus. Whoa. The light of God is shining on you, bro. My. More God. More. Take him up. Go to heaven. Just go right into heaven. More. Shamba. Whoa. There he goes. Fire in her. Fire. Shut up in her bones. More God. More. There's a preach in you, girl. My. Lord, let her call forth and decree in her prayers. The fire of God is going to come out of your mouth. It's coming out of you right now. Fire all over you. Double it. Light her up, God. Fire of God. Fire, Lord. There's a joy of the Lord. The joy bomb is going to hit you. Pow. There it is. Jesus. Touch. Beautiful one. More, God. More for your equal of Jesus. Equal to Jesus in all things. As he is, so is she in this world. Rise! Healed in the name of Jesus. Power is going to come out of you. Testimony of your healing is going to be heard around the world. The glory of God is going to overshadow you. Even like Mary was overshadowed. You're going to be overshadowed for the next 3 days. You're going to just like, I can't wait to get back into harvest time for more of that holy glory. Jesus. Woo! She fell down. More, Lord. Healing in your bones and spine. Healing in your body in the name of Jesus. Blood sugar healed in Jesus' name. More. Wow. More for my bro. I like this guy. More Jesus. God, just rip this usher right. Just rip him up, God. Rip him up, good. More. Power for the staff. Power for Georgie. More, God. More, Lord. Can't protect me when you're on the floor, I guess. Okay, everybody, all the staff. Did we miss some staff? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, yeah. I'll make sure we get... Just, hey, don't go away, guys. We're coming. This is really good. I didn't have any coffee. Man, yeah, you ought to. Grande Starbucks, and it's like, oh, my. Somebody unplug this guy. More, Lord. Oh, yeah, just lift your hands up. There it is. Pow. Oh, wow. Whoa. Get him, Lord. There it is. Woo. Man, look at this. Glory, he's gripped by the Lord right now. Wow. Do you know this guy? Does this happen a lot? Woo! God got a hold of him. Whoa. Okay. The angelic's moving in the room. I'm telling you, signs and wonders. This is not, this is not just to get us excited, it's to get us intoxicated. More. Thou shalt join thy husband in the heavenly realm. Whoa. The weight of glory is coming on you right now. There it is. My, you look good in the glory. You look good anyway, but you look good in the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's someone watching online right now, and the glory is filling. You're at a desk watching a computer, and the glory of God. Whoa, there it is. Wow. It's coming on you in a chair, and you're just getting zapped. You're getting absolutely filled with the presence of the glory of God. Watching online. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Lord. Are you girls on staff too? Are you paid pastors or anything? No? Okay, over here. Did I not pray for these? Pray for you. Well, take more, Goldilocks. More for you too. There it is. You're the singer, aren't you? You know, there's going to be like encounters with the Lord. You're going to have Elizabeth, is that your name? You're going to have, like Elizabeth, you're going to have miracles around you. I know you're a young woman, but you're going to have supernatural encounters with God, and it's going to come through dreams. Matter of fact, you've already had a few about your destiny. You're a dreamer. I see that in your eyes. There's a prophetic calling. Every worshiper has to become prophetic, and every prophetic person has to become a worshiper. That's the key of David. And as the Lord increases the supernatural realm around you, I see it happening in your home, and you've got a really nice home, and the Lord's going to start filling your room, and he's going to, wow. He's just going to start filling your day and your night with divine impressions and glory of his presence. Songs are going to be coming out of you. They're going to be heard around the world. If nothing less than through the internet, your worship gift is going to go around the globe. Isn't that amazing? Lift your hands up to God. There it is. More. More, Lord. More. More for the radiant one. More for the radiant friend of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Who has the neck, the pain in the neck? You do? Is it you? Okay, well, come up. I'll pray for both of you. I was just getting a real word of knowledge about pain in the neck. I won't elaborate on that one. But I would say, are you married? No, let's don't even go there. I'm going to get 30 years on Tuesday. And dear sir, you are such a wonderful man for her. Okay, how's that? I want to make it out to my car tonight without getting hit. Okay. Father, there it is. Healing all down your neck in the name of Jesus. It just lifted right off of you, and it lifted right off of me. I'm telling you, there's a supernatural healing. Isn't it good to have healings? If you're going to have revival, Jesus, when he taught and preached, he had healings, man. You ought to read the Bible. There's tons of healings everywhere. More, more, more. I feel the electricity going down your spine. Where's the other? Oh, okay. Injury? Yeah. You fell and had whiplash. And okay. Oh, Jesus. Stretch your hands out, everybody, to this beautiful, wonderful woman of God, equal to Jesus, co-equal partner to the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? You ought to put that on your business card. Co-equal partner to the Son of God. Gee, you know, it's like the Trinity's making room for you. It's a mystery. It's just amazing what's happening. You know, the bride of Christ is rising, coming out of her wilderness, and she's going to come out healed. So in the name of Jesus, precious one, there it is. Healing in your body, healing in your spine and your neck. Also, there's hip, some pain in left hip. The Lord is going to heal that too. Thank you, Lord. Precious mom, bless her, Father. What a wonderful mother. What a wonderful mother. So hungry and passionate. Oh, if you guys only knew the hunger in her heart and her husband as well. Their hunger for Jesus. Their hunger for the Son of God and for their kids too, to know him. So Lord, I just release the affirmation from the heart of Father God of you being a wonderful mother. You are gifted. You are blessed. You're a precious, anointed. You know what? You're going to teach women on mothering. How's that? You're going to reveal and release nuggets of grace. It's almost like your devotional is going to be nuggets of grace or grace for moms or something like that. Something about golden nuggets of grace for mothers. And you're going to be emailing and blogging, and the Lord's going to give you a ministry that you never thought you would ever have out of the shadow of your husband. Here she comes, ready or not. And there's a prophetic angel. The Lord just came and stood right here by you. There it is. Wow. You have an anointing of the prophetic a lot more than you've understood. You're going to start prophesying with dreams and prophetic utterance, tongues and interpretation. Oh, God. Just kiss Kimmy. Kimmy, Coco Pop. Lord, give her the kiss of God right there. Heaven's kiss on her heart. More. Just about done, guys. You're next, so don't go away. Everybody that's sitting down, your time's coming. I promise you'll all be out of here by 3 a.m. Jesus, more. Whoa, there it is. Whoa. Wow. Woo. My. You know, if you would just stand right there for a little bit, angels of God are going to minister to you. You're going to feel a blowing in your ear. A blowing in your ear. And the word of the Lord is going to come to you. The swirl of heaven is all around you. You're such a heavenly person. You really are. There's more of glory in you than there is of grime or guilt. You're such a beautiful vessel of glory. There's so much glory around you. It's a radiance. And the light of God is just streaming on you. I don't know why everybody can't see it. It's so strong. The glory light shining on you, Kimmy. More. If you can, just stand there for a while. He wants to minister to you. Thank you, Lord. More. Oh, Jesus. You're so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Woo. Those, Jehovah Surprise You is in the room. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
More, Lord. More. Shambarata. Boronda. Borata. I see art, creativity, drama, the creative stuff all around you. My. The glory of God. Thank you, Lord, that her body is healed. Thank you for her spirit that is whole. The sozo of God has come upon her. I thank you, Lord, that she and all that she touches is going to carry the anointing of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these pastors, Lord. Zappa. Wow. Steve needs it good, Lord. Steve needs it good. You know, I just saw something. You know what I saw? And this is good for the media, guys. I saw video announcements. And I saw you doing it. I saw you like a commercial. And you're making it like a really cool, off-the-chain, crazy announcement, you know, on the video. Isn't that cool? Give me a link to that when you do that, because I want to see that. Thank you, Lord. More God. More. There it is. More for this one, Lord. Take her to heaven right now. Take her into divine ecstasy, into the trance of God. Are you guys back here, your staff? More. Give him more, God. Give him more. We'll all go out for dinner later. Just hang on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for my friend. I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you'll continue to burst forth in him like you've done in the last 6 weeks. Lord, I just see the last 6 weeks, the Lord is just giving you more of a peace and a joy and a comfortable who you are in God revelation. He's teaching you in secret things that nobody really even knows that the Lord is showing you and teaching you in private, in personal life with God. And all of those seeds that he's planted are now coming to fruitfulness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. There it is. Thank you, God. More. Thank you, Lord. He likes everything about you. You know this guy? Okay. You like him? Would you marry him? Okay. She wants to marry you. More, Lord. More. Wow. Okay. Here's what I saw. You know, when you see a lightning strike, when you pray over people... And a lightning, because I felt lightning come on her. The lightning is demonic victory over the demonic realm. It's like you just walked through a hard time, and the Lord just, pow, Satan fell like lightning. And victory is now yours. You're going to walk in victory. More. More God. More for the Stanford game. Fire. Tongues, more tongues, spirit baptism, gifts of the spirit, all 9 of them. more supernatural encounters, angels, no doctrinal limitations of what God doesn't do anymore. Give him grace to fly. Give him that soaring like down at Epcot, soaring. Just let him soar into the realm with you, God. More divine ecstasy. You guys staff, you want to be? Give you a job here? Thank you, Lord. Okay. I believe that's everybody. You guys got back up there. Good. Dude, it's only 9:15, man. It's really not that late. So let's have first come, first serve, line up on this blue line, and then the next ones line up on that blue line, and then those that were a little bit slow out the gate, you get the last line, but the last shall be first. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I want... Pastor Glenn had another meeting. Can you believe that? Preached three times and then went to another church to bless another church in the region. And he was going to try to make it back. I encouraged him to chill, and I think that's what's happened. So with that having been said, I'm just going to take authority in that I'm going to release some people to pray with me over you. And the people I'm going to release, I am accountable for them. In other words, I trust them, and I know they're going to pray the right thing and the blessing of God, so that way everybody can get prayer here in just the next few minutes. And Joseph of Arimathea, you're going to be one. And you, my bro, I want you as well, okay? So why don't you start right here? And Joe, you want to go back down to that side? And I'm going to go all the way to the back row, and I'm going to work my way this way. And we shall merge in the middle. Okay? Ready, set, pray. More for Kimmy. More power of the Holy Spirit. Power, power, power. You know, I just see the Lord doing something really powerful in your life tonight, my friend. The glory of the Lord was overshadowed. You sat kind of right back there on this side, right? Yeah, I remember seeing a light come on you during the meeting, and I believe the glory of the Lord is with you, and he's bringing a deep, deep healing in your life and in your heart, and he just loves you.
Lord, I seek you.
To pour into your heart this very night the love of God. There it is. Jesus, more for my beautiful friend. There she is, Lord. Boronda. Boronda. You might keep your eyes open. There's going to be some people falling that I'm not even praying over. It's going to go deep here. The angelic is just going to start wrecking us. More, more. Woo, woo. More. There it is. Pow. Fly away.
I want to sit at your feet.
More. Come on, go, 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 go. There she goes. Lord bless my friends. Whoa. Get them both.
It's overwhelming me. Come on, sing together. The more I seek you, Lord.